Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older. I heard, you know, through another player that Fox told him, I was like, yo, Vince don't like me. But we're just, all, you know, just always just trying to get him just to understand his importance to the team being a professional. He came up to me and he said, hey, man, now that you're not here, I understand all of the things that we argue about or you would say to me. And I want to say thank you. Bro, when he said that to me, I was just like, whoa.
The VC Show, let's go.
Welcome to the VC Show, presented by Caesars Sportsbook on Omaha Audio. I'm Vince Carter, alongside you know who, Roz Goldenwood. Hey, Roz, how was your Thanksgiving, first and foremost? How are you doing? What's up? What's good? I see you everywhere. You're a busy lady.
I am moving and shaking, but actually for the Thanksgiving holiday, I sat down and just really enjoyed my family. And my godmother, Sharon, put on a feast for about 12 people. She did most all of it herself, although I was a sous chef and I helped her make her mother's famous carrot cake, Miss Klingscale's famous carrot cake, and it is delicious. And my father used to love eating that carrot cake, and that's one of my favorite memories with him is we'd always like kind of fight each other for a slice of Miss Klingscale's carrot cake. Now she's passed away and my father passed away, so my godmother Sharon and I both took some special time, intimate time together to put the ingredients together and make the cake. So it was a beautiful Thanksgiving. It was delicious. She threw down, we ate, and I'm back at it. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, man. Mom's wanted to have everybody over. So I was like, what time we will be there? And kids had a good time. They ate good, hang out with the family, you know, so no complaints, man. And like, just like you, back to work after that. So it's been an interesting time off, you know, since we've last talked. A lot going on, as you know. So what you got for us?
I mean, it's just the NBA. There's always something.
Where you want to go? Like, better question. What angle do you want to hit first? Like, where you want to go with this?
Well, actually, I'm really excited to have a positive angle on the Lakers. And, you know, they've put a win streak together. And according to sources, you know, there's a belief shared by leaders in the Lakers locker room that the team's only a couple players away from turning this team into a legitimate contender. And look,
Roz, you know, what does that mean?
I'm asking you, what does it mean? What do you think?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I wasn't sure. So it's a lot in this, and I just have questions. I thought Anthony Davis was fantastic while LeBron was out. And I saw some numbers where, you know, LeBron was averaging, you know, let's say 20, 23 or so points a game with AD, as AD was averaging the same. Without each other, they jumped up about 10 points. Okay? So my question is, can AD have the same mentality and approach to the game while LeBron is back consistently? Alpha dog. I'm the go-to guy. Play through me first. Can he continue to do that? Because I think if he has that mentality, the Lakers can succeed and play like they're playing, because LeBron can be LeBron whenever he wants to. LeBron can take over games when he wants to. And we've seen Rods in the past. LeBron talked about, early when he first got there the first year, we want to play through AD, we want to play through AD. And I know you watch the games like I do, but you notice LeBron, they were playing through LeBron. LeBron was like, okay, we can't wait. Mm-hmm. We got to get it done. Play through me. And then we'll just let AD catch up as he does. But now I think this is a great opportunity for AD to now take the reins, as LeBron has been saying and wanting to do, and the organization for so long. Mm-hmm. The time is now. And I think if they're able to do that, I think the organization get a better assessment of what they really need. Yes, they need shooters. I get it. But then you'll see what else they can find to complement an Anthony Davis-led team with LeBron James, respectfully.
Why does there seem to be an on-off switch? You know, what is it that impedes the ability for, you know, AD to play at that level when LeBron's sharing the court with him? Is there something is it a mental challenge? Is it actually something about strategically how the court is set up? Or, you know, look, when you got LeBron James on the court, that's the best person on the court to run an offense through.
And that's what I was going to say. I think it's a respect thing. He respects who and what LeBron James has done in the game. But at the same time, you are allowed to, and you should, and nothing wrong with you respecting him. But when that guy that you respect is now trying to give you the reins and wants you to take over and be the go-to guy, and he can compliment you, you should take that as an honor and run with it. I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to AD, but I don't know what's his hesitation. But I think playing like this, because I know these guys hear the whispers. I mean, as players, you hear, mm-hmm. you know, especially those who frequently, roam and scroll through social media, they hear see what's being said about them. So we're seeing, he's hearing, can AD lead a team? Is he washed? I don't want to say washed, because mm-hmm. he's still playing great basketball. So maybe they're not saying that, but is he still the top five player? Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't played at that level or had that approach. I think now he's doing so while LeBron is not on the floor. I'd like to see, you know, yes, he was averaging like 22. He's getting like 22 a game, you know, with him, but it didn't pass the eye test for some players. It's like, yeah, he's doing mm-hmm. it, but it was like a quiet 22. You really wasn't sure if he was there. Now, AD is that guy right now. That's how well he's playing, you know? So I don't know if it's just hesitation, but, you know, I say swing for the fence. If I'm his teammate, I'm like, bro, swing for the fence. You see when you play like this, what happens to our team?
Okay, so how close do we think the Lakers are, or how far are they from a few moves that could make them a serious contender, especially in the West?
I still think they need shooters. We can't. One thing about it, I think Russ made the first move into the growth and transformation of this team, meaning the willingness to sacrifice his game for what he wants to get better. Then you couldn't blame Russ. It wasn't about Russ. It was about everything else. Now he's done his part. AD is now doing his part. The organization, is that time for you to do your part and put the pieces around them to get better. I hear a lot of, you know, media types talk about, okay, they make the trade. Will they win the championship? I don't know. But you think they want to play like this and be at the bottom? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to get better and give yourselves the chance because of LeBron's history? Yeah, I mean, maybe they don't win, but they want to. Why not make a run for it? You know, I get it. They don't want to give up everything they have, all of their draft picks. I do understand that. But you've put yourself in this position where you have to do something. And they're playing better basketball, so maybe they've bought themselves some time, Roz. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just one thing that's hard about these situations, because anytime you have LeBron James on your team, you're playing for now. You know, it's not about a rebuild. and so that makes it awkward for those role players who might even be having a nice moment, because you can't really tell if you're playing your way into a trade, you know, or are you playing your way into sticking around and them saying, no, we believe in that one. So it's kind of hard to, you know, concentrate. It can be very distracting. And that's why I feel like when I speak to players in those positions, you often hear them say things like, I'm just focusing on what I can control. I'm focusing on bringing great effort and energy. Yeah, like what is the situation they're in?
I would say ball out. Ball out and increase your value, regardless, whether it's balling out to stay with that team or balling out to be traded for another opportunity. That other opportunity could be a better opportunity because you're playing well. So the common denominator here is do your thing, man. Do your thing and then let everything, you know, sort itself out after that, because if you're not playing well, they're going to trade you. If, you know, regardless, like they don't need you and, you know, whatever. So I feel like if you go out there and just do your job, and good things can happen for you, whether you're sticking with that team or not. You know, you could get traded to a better situation, you know, or just, or a better opportunity. I said better situation or better opportunity. Better situation, yeah. Being a team that is maybe the top of the West or top of the East. Better opportunity, you go to a team where you might not be winning, you get more opportunities to show what you can do. So it's all predicated around doing your thing.
Okay, so we started this conversation at the top talking about Lakers have put a couple of wins together now. They're on it. They had a streak. Like, they're feeling good about things. What do you think is the biggest evolution or adjustment or growth that they've made to put them in the right direction from that, honestly, pressure-filled and abysmal start to the season? It was feeling like the world was mounting on the Lakers.
Well, you think about, like you said it earlier, when you play on a LeBron James team, the expectations aren't normal. It's not regular. It's winning and winning from the start of the season. I think that it just hit them hard. I mean, it's just like, do you have the pieces? Are you, you know, on top of learning a new offense, trying to buy into, you know, what Coach Darvin Ham is selling and what he's teaching, what his expectations are, you know, a little different. We had him on and he already said, you know, his thing is about defense first. The offense is going to take care of itself, but we got to sacrifice and commit to the defense. So everybody's just buying into that, being able to accept the new roles, like a Russ Westbrook who felt that it should be one way, but the coach organization sees it another way, having to deal with that. A lot of guys having to understand and deal with that as well. So I think it is growth. I think it is understanding. And I think the leader of that pack, the leaders of that pack, I will say, is Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis, because there again, I said Russ did his part. He made the sacrifice because he wants to win. He's like, okay, I got to figure this out. As he said, and I talked about this, you know, many, many episodes ago, I said, Russ just has to sit in the mirror, sit in the room by himself and figure out what he wants and what makes sense. And how do you, like for me, because I was in the same type of situation where it's like, all right, I say that I want to play basketball as long as I can. So some things you're going to have to sacrifice. Some things we're not going to like. But how can you be you in your new role? And he's doing that. He's figured it out, you know. So that's kind of the thing, you know, for him. And then Anthony Davis. I don't wish injury on anyone, but LeBron going down, I think, was a shot of life and confidence for Anthony Davis, which is going to help this Lakers team as they move forward. He just has to sustain it and continue to do so. And I think that's kind of been the growth in what has given this team success so far.
Absolutely.
What you think?
I definitely want to give credit and kudos to the humbling of egos, to the digesting of pressure and expectation, both internally and externally. And also, yo, it takes time. You got a whole new coach. You know, you got a couple of new faces. You got literally adjusting into new roles. I mean, superstars adjusting into new roles and being asked of different things, you know, from Coach Ham. So I feel like that takes time. There are some teams that, you know, you expect them, when they're veteran or they have a lot of returners, to be further along early. But there are other teams where they need to have patience and understand that their check-in points, their urgency points, you know, are closer to that all-star break. They're making sure they're a post-all-star team as far as their understanding of the system, each other, where their shots are coming from, how things space out, their responsibilities. And then that next step, that next layer is, and I trust you. I know that you got my back. And because I trust you, I can, you know, move in on a string with each other. So I feel like that takes time. But it, like you said, it's the Lakers, it's LeBron, and ain't nobody trying to.
And it's a big media market. It's a big media market. If it's a small media market, it's kind of under the radar till it's a big deal. This is the LA.
Yeah.
It's a big deal all the time.
Yeah, facts. Nobody has time for her natural gelling of a team. Gelling?
Yeah.
We were the 2020 y'all champions.
Y'all should have figured that a long time ago. Yeah.
Right. Hello.
All right, people. We're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Okay, let's hop over to a team with less expectations, but has some bright spots. Still in California. Are you with me on which team that might be?
Sacramento Kings.
Boom! Sacramento Kings.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes.
I want to talk about the play of De'Aaron Fox. Now, I know you played with him in the 2017-18 season. You know, what was this young man like? What was he like? How was he? What's your assessment of him?
Oh, my God, De'Aaron Fox. Where should we start? Super
also, congratulations.
Talented.
If you're watching De'Aaron, I know his.
Oh, I'm like, thank you.
I think they're growing as a family.
Right.
Yes, that's right. He wrote an article
on it,
so it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
Rasay Caldwell, yeah, I believe.
That's what's so crazy. That's so crazy. Like, I mean, just knowing him as a young guy coming in and, you know, a lot of hype around him and just understanding, learning how to be a professional. And we would argue all the time. And I would not let De'Aaron Fox get away with the silly kid stuff that he wanted to be, you know, to do sometimes. Like, you know, this is your team. This is going to be your team. Be a professional. And the coolest thing ever that you know, as a veteran, you know, I think of like a Udonis Haslem and, you know, his words and how important his words are to the Miami Heat in the locker room. I think about, I heard Fox thought I didn't like him. And
wait, what? Who said that?
So at one point, I heard, you know, through another player that Fox told him, I was like, yo, Vince don't like me. But we're just, all, you know, just always just trying to get him just to understand his importance to the team being a professional. And I only played for SAC for a year. We played that year. You know, we go through the next year. So now I'm in Atlanta and he's going through the season and we're starting to see De'Aaron Fox kind of take off a little bit. We're starting to see flashes and he came up to me and he said, hey, man, now that you're not here, I understand all of the things that we argue about or you would say to me. And I want to say thank you. And I appreciate that. And it makes more sense now that you're not here than when you were here. Because he was fighting. It was like, oh, you know, more so than listening. You want to fight back like, bro, stop. Leave me alone. Let me live. Let me enjoy my rookie season. Blah, 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 blah. Mm. And, bro, when he said that to me, I was just like, whoa, my pleasure, man. It was a great feeling. Like, you know, I if you want feedback, if you want to have conversation, you want to, you know, obviously chop it up about the game and what I've seen, been around. Cool. You know, some people, you know, don't want it. That's fine. It is what it is. And it's kind of, he was receptive to it to a point. And now to see him take those things, you can see his maturity, his growth. He understands the game. It's definitely slowing down and he is playing lights out. And I think they put some great pieces around him. My other teammate, Kevin Herter, mm-hmm. is shooting the lights out of the mm-hmm. rock, you know, from distance. So it's just great to see those two guys who, and Kevin Herter is another guy I had a lot of conversation with over the year, you know, as a rookie coming down. We still keep in touch when he got traded there, you know, just to kind of just encourage him and everything. And now to see Headband Herter, man, good Lord, he is balling too. But like, man, I text him, I said, the headband stays? He said, yes. I said, okay. But man, D-Fox is playing great. And to see what he's doing defensively, you get Sabonis over there who have a low post threat. Yo, Harrison Barnes, man. Yeah. And I know you know Harrison from when he played, you know, from Golden State days, but and he kind of faded away and he is back playing better than ever. So everybody has bought into what Mike Brown is selling over there. And they're definitely led by De'Aaron.
You know, I got to know Coach Mike Brown when he was with the Warriors and I was their sideline reporter. And I mean, he was a huge part of the success of that team. And one thing that always stood out to me, especially when I had the time, chance to do interviews, and also he had opportunities to step in, you know, and lead as Steve was out sometimes. But his organization, his attention to detail, sometimes it might feel rigid, but at the same time, he's wildly, wildly prepared. And I think that's something that, like, you know, this Kings team could use. Some, you know, absolutely. As they try to dig out of the mud a little bit because they've had nice pieces, but it hasn't necessarily translated to huge success for them so far. So, but you mentioned that. Go ahead.
I want to say this real quick about Mike Brown. De'Aaron,
yeah, talk about Mike. Talk about Mike, sure.
Real quick, I just want to say this about Mike Brown. I noticed those things that you're talking about. I don't think it was appreciated when he had during his time in LA. When he Cleveland. But when I watched him coach the Nigerian national team.
Yes.
I was there for that. And watching him and watching how he had command and watching the appreciation of the higher powers there and what he did, like watching them play the Team USA and it was another game that I was super impressed, but he just had command and they all listened, and all of those players who played for him are now having successful seasons in the NBA this year. So I noticed that. I took notice of that, and you know, obviously I felt he deserved the job. I was like, what he did with them, if this Sacramento team buys into what he's selling, good things mm-hmm. can happen. And I didn't know, I didn't think it'd happen this fast, but kudos to him and the young guys. But you were saying about Fox?
Yeah, to come back to De'Aaron, though, and I feel you. First of all, Mike Brown deserves so much flowers beyond his NBA success, what he did with the Nigerian national team, bringing attention and respect to the program. I played for the Nigerian national team on the women's side.
They played hard, just, too, man.
Yeah, and competing and really showing what the potential is, and also bringing the pedigree of, you know, a championship NBA high level elite executing coach to Nigerian basketball is meaningful beyond. It's really meaningful in many ways. So big, big, big respect to Mike Brown. But to come back to De'Aaron Fox, you mentioned like when you met him as a rookie, you were trying to mentor him and maybe he wasn't like, he needed to grow up and also learn what it takes to be a pro. That, you know, it's kind of sound like what you're saying. When does that switch usually flip on for a lot of players? Is that like a year three thing? Especially at the guard position, is it harder for guards?
It kind of depends on the person as well, what they're trying to accomplish as players. Because I feel like, you know, you can be a great player and you can be, you know, and not listen to what, you know, being what people are trying to teach you, and you can kind of have some success and fade away. And then you could be that guy who's trying to better and become that player that you always saying, I want to be an all-star. I want to be this. I want to do this for my team. And I thought you always year two, the game slows down because everything you've gone through the first time, you're prepared for it. You know what to expect in different situations. You know what back-to-backs feel like. You know what 4 games of 5 nights feel like now. You know what rivalry games or you know what how some officials act. And you know who you can talk to or you start to learn who you can talk to and who you can't, who not to mess with, that type of stuff. All that stuff tends to happen and help guys settle in. And it's just like, you know, it's now I know what to expect every day. I know what my body's going to feel like after a back-to-back. So I know what I need to do. I'm not looking around like, okay, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to. And so you're trying to figure it out while playing. It's everything slows down. The game slows down. And obviously year three, you feel like you're a pro at it. You're a vet. Now, that's why, you know, I mean, after 4 years, they consider you a veteran because, I mean, you've seen a lot of things outside of the game, you know, of the game of basketball. So I think year two and year three, you just think about some of the players who's, you know, Ja Morant, you know, he was good his first year. He got, you know, he was crazy his second year, you know. And then you look at some guys who year three, year four, it, you know, it's all about, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. You know, some guys are just trying to establish that, hey, I can score in this league and winning and all that other stuff will come later. And there's some guys who are trying to figure out how can I do both.
So I'll wear the journalist hat right now. I find that in my conversations with players who are making that jump, young players who are transcending into that next level, I feel like it usually is accompanied by some commitment to their being a pro, whether that's a changing of their body, a changing of eating habits, how they prepare themselves and wind down from games and practices. Sometimes I feel
and
like
responsibilities, Ross. Don't forget right. that responsibilities. You know, you're having more responsibilities as a leader.
Right.
Know, that's important.
And sometimes I speak with players. You know, it's funny. Sometimes you're having conversations as a reporter, and especially if you have good relationships and people trust you, you find eventually you're sitting with a player and they're actually confiding with you, and it feels almost like a bit of a therapy session at times. Sometimes I speak with players who have been highly touted, a number one draft pick, a huge expectation guy, something like that. And there, for some, it's off to the races. But for others, there's a lot of hurt that comes along the way. I've spoken to hurt players that have had to learn to let go of outside expectation or needing the game to inform how they feel about themselves. Because, like, they really have struggled with that. And it's
because
crazy.
They're not taught. Go ahead.
We but forget.
I'm going to say this. We're not
we
taught.
Forget,
there's
though,
pain before like, pleasure.
A lot of times. And we forget as a public, because we're seeing huge contracts and salaries. Like, these are human beings. And a lot of them are holding, like, hurt, expectation, disappointment. And for most of all athletes' lives, you've derived your sense of identity and value around the game, you know?
Yeah. And think about this also. A lot of these guys come from successful high school careers. Some of them, a lot of them are one and done, who had a lot of success. Maybe their team, but those players as individuals had success. Come to the NBA, and it's a wake-up call, and guys don't know how to handle that because they've been successful, never hit with adversity, never hit with, I'm not the go-to guy. I'm not this. And they don't know how to handle that. And this is a shock to their system. But remember, the ball keeps rolling. The games keep playing. They don't have time to wait for you. It's kind of like you figure it out. You ask questions. Some guys are so prideful, they don't ask for help, or they don't ask questions, or, like, you know, they don't really listen to kind of the helpful hands or the few vets that are on teams now. Whatever, but, you know, they don't listen or that, whatever. Or, you know, there's a lot of former players. Yeah.
Nah,
you know, I'm just saying, it's not enough veterans. It's not enough vets in this league to help with that, though, because that star player who's going through these issues can have a veteran who's been there. Either I was lucky when I walked into the Toronto my rookie year. I had Dee Brown, who played with Larry Bird. I had Doug Christie, who played with Magic Johnson. I had Antonio Davis, who played with Reggie Miller. I had Kevin Willis, who played with Dominique Wilkins. I had Charles Oakley, who played with Michael Jordan. So anything I was going through as the go-to guy or a young superstar, I could talk to them and they could like, nah, this is how they handle the media. This is how he prepared himself. This is the, and you know, they give me game and then I mold it into me. It's not the same. Like it's not the same now. And I think that is extremely important for the maturation of a lot of these young guys who are superstars who come in with the high expectations, like you said, fail or struggle or hit bumps in the roads and don't know how to bounce back or how to just say, hey, help me be the player that I want to be. And then they get defensive sometimes when they read the clippings that's not positive and they shut down. So right. I think it's important, if you're not going to have veterans on your team, you need to have former players who's been in these positions or you need to have former players who played with superstars like I just named. Because I feel like, yes, a coach who's been around can tell me, oh, so much, that's great. Yes, when I coach such and such, that's cool. But you're not with them in the locker room when you're not around, which is the most important time, in my opinion. And only veteran players or guys who've been around these guys can do that. I'm off my soapbox.
No. I believe in the importance of, you know, locker room culture, you know, extension of the coach, you know, having a veteran. And like, often great teams have great vets.
Because that's how guys grow.
Yeah, great teams have great vets. Somebody's got to set the culture and be an enforcer, you know, or be able to speak to young guys in a way that the coach can't. So, look, you're talking to the choir. But, like, I got one more angle to take on this De'Aaron Fox conversation. He signed with Clutch, Rich Paul, all of them, which is, you know, nothing but respect for what they're building there and how they're expanding. And it's interesting that signing with Clutch seems to come with agenda, rumor. Like, it comes with something. I also think it comes with respect. Like, you know, people are going there and getting business done. And in many cases, Clutch players have gotten paid. I mean, every agency has some slips or some, you know, situations that could be better, but for the most part, you know, when you think about where it started and where it is now, it's a wild success story. And so there's a tweet out, and it's Chris Haynes. He had an exclusive interview with De'Aaron Fox, and he, amongst the many things they talked about, you know, he talked about hiring Rich Paul as his agent, and that the move had nothing to do with wanting to be traded. And even Draymond Green, also a part of Clutch, chimed in on Twitter saying, well, why does hiring Rich Paul have to be viewed as a move to be traded? Why isn't it simply the truth, which is that Rich is the best in the business? And at some point, the disrespect of this industry must stop. So what does it signal? What does it signal to you that De'Aaron Fox has signed with Clutch and Rich Paul? And we'll do a full stop there. And then I guess, what's your reflection on what Rich Paul and Clutch have built?
I think it's just it's saying, you know, Fox, De'Aaron is seeing an opportunity. You know, I mean, it's just a transition period. Who can help get me the opportunities, whether it's get me paid with the team that I'm currently playing for or otherwise? And, you know, Rich Paul and Clutch has shown that they're getting their guys played. They're putting them in the opportunities they need to be, they need or want to be in. And, you know, Draymond out there, you know, supporting and saying he's the best in the business because, I mean, obviously he's seeing what he's done for him and other players. So when you have an agency that is successful, that's doing something, guys, if they feel like they can look after and take care of them, they'll do it. I signed with a smaller agency because I felt like, you know, some of the bigger agency had so many players. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be a fish, another fish in the pond. And, right. You know,
is there clout and power?
I mean, in today's game, yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, you think about it. When you come in and you say you with Clutch, Everybody knows, you know, but look at it. Look at, like, what is everybody saying when he signed with Clutch? The first thing they said is what? Oh, they're going to get Clutch so he can get traded. You know, so, I mean, there is power. It is power. Whether we see it as a negative to some people, you know, if you're a Sacramento fan, you kind of, you're intimidated and afraid. If you're other people, like, oh, man, De'Aaron Fox might be available now that he signed with Clutch, you know? So I think his play is putting him in a position where he's going to get paid. And if there's a situation where he wants to get moved, it can happen because of his play and his representation.
Absolutely. And in the locker room, does agents play an impact in the locker room at all?
No. I think the only time I think agents are brought up is when players are looking to leave one and go somewhere else. My opinion.
Okay.
That I can think of. I don't really, I don't ever recall, you know, it being a, you know, outside of, you know, you maybe sit there like, bro, you see what such guy, man, his agent getting all his guys paid type thing. You know, it could be that too. You know, because I remember, you know, me changing agents, you know, very, very few times that I can recall having a conversation about the agent. It's kind of this a thing. But when, you know, you just kind of just listen and you start to hear what kind of, how guys feel about their agency and what you're looking for. Does it match what such and such is telling you? And you got to decide from there. So, I mean, it's well documented what Clutch is doing. So it's I don't see it as a bad move for De'Aaron until it's a bad move for De'Aaron.
Okay, let's wrap this up with one more topic. And it's an age-old topic about injury, resting, toughness, then and now, physicality, all the things. And there's a number of examples, but we'll start with one coming to head. Olden Polonese, attention all NBA players, he tweeted. The more you sit and skip games after getting hurt or injured, the more you will continue to get hurt or injured. You have to build up pain tolerance. It's ridiculous watching you guys sit for BS. I finished second in rebounds with a broken hand in 93. Damn, what's your reaction to that? That you got to build up your pain tolerance with pain.
It just speaks to what the old NBA was like and what it was about and the expectations. And, you know, people viewed you, and I can say us because I was a part of that era as well. Crazy to say, but I actually was about part of it. Was you were viewed a particular way for the amount of games you played, and it was a thing. Mm-hmm. You fought with training staff and or organizations about being on the court because you wanted it to say at least 75 or more games in that season. Obviously, 82 mm-hmm. was a badge of honor. And that's just wow. not what it is now. It's the organizations. The organizations are now protecting players from themselves. The organization, because like he said, just think about what he said here. And this is why he's mad, because what he knows his entire career, he played with a broken wrist. He said wrist, right? Wrist or hand. And he second in rebounding. And yeah, so that's, you know, so that's kind of what it was. It was not like, oh, let's protect you for the future, your longevity, your career. They didn't think about it. Mm-hmm. It's the evolution. So I'm stuck in the middle of this because I hear what he's saying. And, you know, there wasn't a such thing as load management and resting guys and you doing that. It wasn't a such thing as load management and resting guys and, you know, this, like when you were injured, you were hurt, you sit, like very few times I can recall as a young guy, like I had a coach, I won't name his name, but I think in my that season I had him, we probably had two, if not three, real off days that season.
Wow.
Three off days, completely off in that season. It was ridiculous. Guys did complain about that. We deserve to let our body heal, but like, it's just what it was. Like, his idea of off days were, okay, you off from practice, but you still got to go get some free throws.
Right.
Or some spot shots and then go home. Mm-hmm. That was considered an off day. And it was brutal. And I was still a young guy where I can handle it, but he was shaving off, you know, years of guys' careers mm-hmm. from how people complain. So it's the evolution of that. Because think about, Roz, think about this. You look at some of the guys, not all, so we can't put everybody in this box when I say this, but you look at some of the older former guys, former players that played this game who, you know, aren't happy about today's game. Look at their bodies now. beat up and broke down because they just, it's just what it was. You know, the mentality is different. You sacrifice your body and what it may look like at the end of your career for the now. Mm-hmm. And today's game, I think it's flipped. They're looking after you. They wanted you to be able to walk away from this game somewhat healthy and normal for later. And it's kind of, you know, and it's kind of, how do you find a happy medium? Yes, I get it with the money people are paying. You know, you're thinking you're going to see a particular player, and it's the load management. It's, you know, these things. I get it. It's just a different game because I played my first year in the league, Roz, we played triples. We played three games in a row that year. We had back-to-back-to-backs.
That's nuts.
They weren't just back-to-backs. It was three games in a row. And it was insane, but you just learned how to take care of your body. We just learned how to make it work, you know. And that was my rookie year, so I'm just like, wait a minute, this NBA. it was a revised season. It started in January. I'm now an NBA player, expected to be this trip back-to-back-to-back games, guarding guys like Grant Hill at the top of their, you know, their game, Kobe. You know, it's like, what in the world? It's like, you know, it's so crazy. And it's like a lot going on now. And I think adding the mental health to this now is really breaking down, you know, the mental tends to break down guys' physical bodies as well sometimes. Just, you know, from a lot of things, you know, you see what I'm saying? So it's a lot that goes into today's, a lot that goes into protecting players now. Like, I think organizations, like I said before, organizations and trainers are saving us players from ourselves. I remember coming back too early as a younger guy and ended up injuring something else because it was just like, you good? You can go? Because once you step on the court, there's no excuses. You said you can go, go. And you go out there and you play and you're compensating and you hurt something else. You go back down. And now organizations are like, okay, we can avoid that by sit you out a little longer. Get you right, you come back. And I think of, you know, Kawhi Leonard with something like that. You know, that's why he set out the entire season. John Wall, well, you know, there's a couple of players, but Kawhi comes to mind for sure, sitting out. Now, he takes advantage of this load management to the high. I would be curious to see who is Olden Polynes actually talking about. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of guys, but I wonder if he had some guys in mind when he said that, because I think of Kawhi, you know, super talented, should be like, talked about every year about being one of the best players.
You want him to out people? You want him to out people? You want him?
No. Not really. I mean, I just want to know who he's talking about. That's all. Because it's like, you know, I get it from both sides because I played through both eras, meaning that era, the end of that era, and this current era. Mm-hmm. So
which do you think is better, Vince? I know there was an adjustment, but now that you've experienced
that's
both,
tough.
And you can understand the positive and negatives that come with both, which would you say was more useful?
Well, I mean, it's easier to say now. I mean, because of technology, because of research and how they can protect your body, and it's more things you understand that you can do or need to have a long lasting career. So, it's just what it was back then. Like I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I did have a problem about that year with that coach where I was like, man, y'all got a day off? Oh, what is that like? Because I don't know what that is anymore. But it was what it was, and I had to learn. I had more injuries early in my career, but I made adjustments, kind of like what we talked about, De'Aaron Fox, as I grew, as I understood. Because I looked at the cold tub. I used to look at D. Brown and Doug Christie, who used to sit in them like, bro, for what? Bro, I'm good. I can just go ice and stretch and whatever. I'll be good. I'm 21. I'm 22. And then it started to make sense as I started going deeper into the playoffs, playing more minutes, more of a focus, getting hit, not especially back in that at that time, stretching and icing and taking care of your body was important. But now, guys, there's Normatex, there's cryo chambers, you know, there's all of these different things that they have that you know they didn't have back then. So yes, naturally it's better, and they're protecting us. Like some of my former players, they're not right, man.
Yeah.
Some of these guys not right because of what they put their bodies through. Like, listen, you look at some of these guys' fingers, man. You get a chance, look at Antonio Davis's fingers, man. Nasty. But that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
They tape you up and send you back out there.
That's crazy. And they still do that. There's still some of that mindset like that in sports today.
Somewhat.
But I do think we're moving
sports today, yes.
A trend, and especially in male sports. But I do think we're working towards a trend of work smarter, not harder. Can we work smart and hard?
I think maybe the
intersection needs to be let's work smart and let's work hard and like intersect those two concepts, you know?
Watch this. You can attest to this. Think about when you came out of high school, or let's say, think about doing your high school career, and think about all of the tournaments, pickup games. I mean, this throughout that, let's say high school, college, and you know, when you were playing for the Nigerian national team, think about the amount of tournaments and pickup games and what's available now as opposed to back then. We didn't have it. We didn't have as many opportunities. There weren't as many. There was the Rucker, you know, King Dome, you know, everything you want in New York, few places in LA and in Chicago. It's everywhere now. Everywhere. So guys can play all year long. I'm talking about you're playing 40 games. You can play 40 games, like real games in the summer. So young guys are beating themselves up. So the technology had to get better because these guys are coming in with their bodies. What trainers are seeing now, these guys' bodies are at young ages are beat up like they've had 4 years, 5 years in the league because of the mileage they put on them.
Yeah.
So, and here's me at the end of my career with all of these opportunities to play these. I'm like, bro, I'm not playing. I can't. I got to save the tread on my tires for the real thing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's just a different world, and it's kind of you know what you prefer, the warrior mentality. Meaning I'm gonna go. It's hurting. It might be a little broken, but take me up and I'm good. Or you just take the smarter approach, which you know today's league is also. So yeah, my vets see this league as soft. I get it.
Yeah. Well, it's spoken well by someone who understands both sides. But I've actually got to tap out for load management myself. So
the way you move around, for sure, I get it.
we need some load management because we've been putting in the work. So Vince, it's always good to hang out with you.
That's what we do.
That's
Thank you,
BC
good people.
Show.
Once again, let's go.
Let's go.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah.
Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.